Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Julia Spare's Moving Markets podcast. It's Friday, the 26th of April, and my name is Helen Freer. On today's show, I'll be talking about the latest market news with Bernadette and Deco. And Tim Gagey also joins us this morning with his usual Friday update on currencies and metals. Let's start, as always, with the market news. Good morning, Bernadette.
Good morning, Helen.
So shall we start in Europe? What was the main news here yesterday and how did markets fare?
Yeah, well, yesterday in Europe, we had a member of the ECB speaking, Helen. We had European Central Bank Governing Council member Fabio Panetta speaking, and he warned that a return to ultra-low interest rates might be required if we're not seeing cuts anytime soon. The Italian Central Bank chief said that the Eurozone economy requires fresh impetus from monetary policy easing, which would also temper the risk of undershooting the 2% inflation target. The Pan-European benchmark Stoxx 600 index ended the session 0.6% lower yesterday, with most sectors in negative territory. Industrial stocks actually led the losses, down 1.9%. But good news, healthcare gained 0.2% on the day.
Let's move over to Japan, because the Bank of Japan meeting was this morning where officials kept the policy rate unchanged. Can you tell us more here, Bernadette?
Yeah, that's right. The Bank of Japan kept its policy rate unchanged overnight following its monetary policy meeting. And that means that it's held the benchmark policy rate at between 0% and 0.1%. This was in line with expectations, but did come after Tokyo's April inflation came in lower than expected, with the core inflation rate at 1.6% compared to expectations of 2.2%. No comment was made by the Bank of Japan on the yen, which has steadily weakened since the bank ended its negative interest rate policy last month and abolished its yield curve control policy. The currency broke through 156 against the US dollar today, but I'm sure Tim will talk more about that. Japan's Nikkei 225 climbed 0.93%, while the Topix was up 0.79%.
And what about markets in the rest of Asia?
We saw South Korea's KOSPI up 1.24%, while the small cap KOSDAQ saw a smaller gain of 0.3%. Over in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng Index rose 1.73%, while mainland China's CSI 300 was 1% higher.
And let's talk about market action in the US yesterday, where equities really struggled. Have you got a few details here?
Yes, overnight in the US, stocks tumbled after data showed a sharp slowdown in economic growth and unfortunately pointed to persistent inflation. US gross domestic product expanded 1.6% in the first quarter. Economists had expected something in the region of 2.4%, so you can see why that disappointed. Along with a downbeat growth rate, the report showed personal consumption expenditures price index increased at a 3.4% pace. That was well above the previous quarter's 1.8% advance. In the markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average slid 0.98%. That was weighed by steep declines in Caterpillar and IBM. The S&P 500 was down 0.46%, and the Nasdaq Composite lost just over 0.6%, Helen.
Okay, we also had some big companies reporting earnings yesterday. What were the headlines here?
Yeah, we did. I'll just give you two. So Alphabet topped analysts' estimates. It reported revenue growth of 15% for the quarter. That's the fastest rate of expansion since early 2022. Ad sales at Snap jumped 20%, also beating expectations. And Alphabet shares jumped 12% in extended trading, pushing the company's market cap past $2 trillion. And prior to the report, the stock was up 12% for the year. And then Microsoft shares, they rose almost 5% in extended trading yesterday after the company issued fiscal third quarter results that outdid Wall Street's expectations. And their artificial intelligence is having a big impact. Microsoft's finance chief, Amy Hood, stated that AI demand is currently higher than the company's available capacity.
And in commodities, there's some news about a merger between BHP and Anglo American.
Yeah, that seems to be off the table for now. Anglo American has rejected the $39 billion takeover proposal from BHP. It said it significantly undervalues the company and its prospects. But there's some news our commodity analysts will like today. Copper has hit $10,000 a ton as speculation builds that the world's mines will struggle to meet a coming wave of demand.
Okay, just lastly, Bernadette, what about the day ahead? What should investors look out for today?
Well, we have several releases out, including US PCE inflation for March. There's also personal income and personal spending results out, and the University of Michigan will give its final consumer sentiment index for April. And of course, we've still got a raft of earnings coming, Helen. The good news is that the futures are showing that markets will open up today. Let's hope that's the case. That's it from me. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Bernadette, for the roundup this morning. Let's move on to you, Tim. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Helen. Thank you.
Let's start with the Bank of Japan, who, as mentioned already, kept rates on hold. What does this mean for the yen then?
Well, I think the Bank of Japan have actually once again been pretty clear. It's just that nobody really wants to listen. Just right now, Bank of Japan policy member Hitoshi Suzuki declines to say whether Forex moves are excessive. Those are his words, not mine. This is not a central bank that wants to intervene. And more importantly, I don't think it's a central bank that can intervene. The biggest problem the Japanese central bank and the finance ministry have is that if they intervene against yen weakness, they are basically intervening against themselves. If you cast your minds back to the Swiss National Bank and the interventions they conducted, at that time, they had negative rates, but they still had a strong currency. So they tried to push harder in the same direction they were already pushing by selling Swiss francs. And it still did not work. Right now, the Bank of Japan have monetary policy that is just in another solar system to everyone else's. So intervening to try to prevent their own policies, weakening their own currency, is just it's just not going to work. The pain trade in yen, I believe, is still for the yen to weaken. So I think most likely that is probably where it will go. And I still wouldn't want to buy any yen.
And what about the US dollar? We hear a lot about Fed hawkishness. Do you think yesterday's US GDP number changes anything?
Well, I said this a few times already. I think it's amazing how quickly things can change. And we shouldn't forget that. A couple of months ago, we were nailed on for a comfortable 3 rate cuts from the Fed this year. And at the end of 2023, I remember one bank, not us, who I will not be mean enough to name again this time, were predicting over 3% of rate cuts from the Fed in 2024. That's only 4 months ago they were saying that. US data has indeed been very strong. But honestly, a lot of this data is really low quality and hard to read. For example, durable goods orders earlier this week. It came in at 2.7% versus 2.6% forecast for March. Okay. But the February number was revised down from 1.3% to 0.7%. That's a massive downward revision. So what could you possibly interpret from this data at the moment? GDP was one print. Maybe it's a one-off. Maybe somebody forgot to carry the two. But if we get a string of weaker numbers out of the US, all of a sudden, experts will be rushing to forecast rate cuts in September. The dollar overall has softened a bit this week, but we are still very much inside the main ranges, looking particularly at Eurodollar and cable.
Okay, what opportunities do you see in your world right now then?
I think the first one is to continue to focus on ranges where we see them. Eurodollar, we're at 107.25 right now, kind of nearer the lower end of the 106 to 110 range. And any sort of product that can really capture this range, and the most ideal is really a pivot TARF. But also, you know, selling some options, looking at reverse convertibles when we get nearer the edges of the ranges. It keeps making sense as long as you keep the sizes a bit reasonable. It's made sense for most of this year and indeed most of last year. Cable is a similar story. Range looks like 123 to 128, a bit more recently, maybe a larger range of 121 to 130. And again, something like a pivot TARF that perfectly captures these ranges, really works well. So I'm keen to keep looking at this stuff. I'm still a seller of Swiss franc on rallies. We had a really nice one at the start of this week. Sterling Swiss went to 112.50, which was a nice level to hit as it turned out, but you did have to be very sharp. I still also like the Kiwi. Carry is friendly, especially against a lower interest currency like the Swissy, but also as an alternative to US dollars, you don't lose any yield, which is not so easy to find these days. And I think current levels, even just above 59, it's really not a bad entry point. There's not much data today. And with the Fed on Wednesday, I think that'll be the market's focus, even if we're not expecting much. I do believe, though, there are some nice opportunities, as I said. As it's Friday, Helen, I shall leave you with a small joke. I saw my son last night speaking into an envelope. I said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "Cad, come on, I'm sending a voicemail." Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Tim. Complete with Friday joke. Always good to get an update from you. So that is all for today. Thank you again to today's guests and thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show and you haven't yet subscribed, then don't forget to do so. And please also leave us a review on whichever platform you like to listen on. And do join us again next week. I'll be back on Monday and we'll be talking to more of our colleagues about what is moving markets. Have a great day, everyone, and then a great weekend. Bye for now.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliasbear.com/legal/podcasts for further other important legal information.
Beyond Markets is a weekly podcast where Julius Bear experts and external speakers discuss some of the latest market developments. They share their key research and insights on today's ever-changing economic landscape and present practical advice. Search for Beyond Markets on your favourite podcast player.